Jewish Latin Princess, Episode 14, Amanda Steinberg, author of Worth It.
You're listening to Jewish Latin Princess Podcast by Ya'el. Every week, get your dose of inspiration from the world's most uniquely talented Jewish women, and from Ya'el herself. Seeking profound and practical ways to live a joyful, richer Jewish life? Welcome to Jewish Latin Princess Podcast. And now, Jewish lifestyle expert and bilingual blogger at JewishLatinPrincess.com, your host, Ya'el.
You're listening to Jewish Latin Princess, everyone. Welcome back. I'm your host, Ya'el Trush. Do you sometimes feel like you have money coma? Everything is a blurry. You have no clue what in the world is happening with your money. Perhaps you want to give to a cause that is really meaningful to you or to a family who really needs it, but you don't even know if you really can. Even though you might be making six figures or more, you might not even know if you have enough saved for retirement and to support the lifestyle that you value later in life. Enter our guest today, Amanda Steinberg. Amanda was a successful computer programmer earning six figures, but she had built such an expensive lifestyle that even her best attempts at saving and investing were wiped out by life's just unexpected curveballs. She got frustrated with her inability to build net worth, and she launched Daily Worth, a newsletter which reaches more than a million subscribers today. I am one of them. I'm a big fan. In 2015, she started a digital investing service called Worth FM, which received front page coverage in the New York Times business section and is revolutionary because it addresses women and the way they think and relate to money. Oprah selected Amanda to the exclusive Super Soul 100, and Forbes named her one of 21 new American money masters. Amanda has also appeared on GMA, Today, CNN, and MSNBC. She's the author of Worth It, Your Life, Your Money, Your Terms, which was just released in February this year. In her book, Amanda flips the paradigm on financial advice for women and delivers it in fresh, unexpected ways. Amanda and I talk about what Worth FM does differently from other digital investment platforms. We talk about the principles of her book, which, while may take into account traditional financial advice, it's framed in an entirely new way, and in my opinion, one that is very much needed and makes money management much more approachable. We talk about our money types as Amanda developed a test, which you can actually find on www.moneytype.me, and how they are important to know as we are trying to navigate the world of money. We talk about the way to break down what Amanda calls save, sustain, and spend, as well as value-based spending. And to all the romantics out there, you will love the unexpected twist that Amanda's sweetest, fondest Jewish memory has for us. She shares that with us today. I am a big fan of Amanda's work, and I'm happy I could bring her to you today. Enjoy the show, Amanda Steinberg. Amanda Steinberg, welcome to Jewish Latin Princess. An honor to have you with us, and congratulations on your book.
Oh, thank you so much. So happy to be here.
Amanda, we're going to talk about your book very, very soon. But first, I want to get to your story, because you're not new to the conversation of women and money. In 2009, you launched Daily Worth, a financial newsletter for women with now over a million subscribers. And this started as an attempt to create some kind of accountability for yourself, kind of force yourself to get your financial house in order, right?
Yes, I was a software programmer for 10 years, and I was really good at making money. And I thought I was making lots of sound investments in my future, but right. They actually ended up putting me into debt. So I decided to start a newsletter as a result of that.
So it's so interesting, and because on the surface, you would have not seemed like a person who needed to do some, you know, financial rebooting. Like, you were young, you were making six figures, you had a solid career path. But from an outsider's perspective, one could think, oh, she's made it, or she's well on the way to making it. But in reality, you needed some work and some help, right?
Well, I'm going to tell you a dirty little secret. The way people appear often has no correlation to necessarily whether or not their finances are in order. It's very easy to mask things.
Right. And you've been very open about telling that, and it's so important because like you said, it's very easy just to mask that. And because you're seemingly doing so well, kind of like not even look deep behind the surface and do the work. So you, not only did you launch Daily Worth, but you've created something that I'm pretty in awe with, because I'm a big fan of robo-investment platforms and I use one myself. And I think the benefits of robo-investing cannot be stressed enough. And although I do think there's a place for financial advisors in one's life, in particular a fiduciary, but I wish I had taken advantage earlier in my 20s of investment platforms instead of handing over my money to some random man, but that's another conversation. In any case, you've taken robo-investing a step further, and I love that. You've started Worth FN, your online investment platform, specifically marketed to women. And would you tell us why you thought there was still a need for this type of platform, and what do we gain from such a wonderful tool specifically geared to women?
Yeah, gladly. You know, I never anticipated becoming the investment management firm ourselves. Mm-hmm. It was simply that Daily Worth's revenue for many years, no longer, but for many years, was advertising purchased by many of the robo-advisors and brokerages that you would go to otherwise. Mm-hmm. And what I found was that there was still a lot of the way in which those investments are positioned and framed and explained and educated that didn't exist in any of the other platforms and services that we were advertising. And as a result, most women didn't engage with those products. And for many years, I spent time with the heads of these companies and the heads of the marketing of these companies explaining to them why. And when I realized they weren't going to take the necessary steps, I realized that's half the market that's not engaged in how financial services typically works.
Right.
So I realized, you know, in order to really fulfill on Daily Worth's mission, which is to engage women around their net worth and long-term finances, that we had to create it or it wasn't going to exist.
Right. So what are kind of the things that you do different that other platforms are not doing?
Sure. Well, you know, when you think about investing, the way that investing has always been thought about is, how do I make as much money as possible by the stocks and the equities and the portfolios and the advisors that I hire and choose? But as we've found, over the last decade or more, that more often than not, some reports say as high as 80%, if you try and beat the market, if you try and maximize your returns, mm-hmm. that you're going to do more poorly than if you just parked your money in index funds.
Correct.
So the fact that most folks who spend some time in this conversation know that now, the framing of investment is still about your portfolios and your returns, whereas for most investment solutions that we recommend and that we build, the performance and the returns are pretty much the same. That's not what you're investing in.
Uh-huh. Got it. So let's talk about your latest book, because here is, I think, where everything is starting to come to life. Your story and your work with Daily Worth and the platform. And the book is called Worth It, Your Life, Your Money, Your Terms. And you go ahead and you flip the paradigm of financial advice from the traditional spend below your means, budget, stay out of debt, save and invest. And while you still promote those principles, you do it in a very unique, fresh way, in a way that shows you to be very in tune with the reality of female behavior and invest and emotions around money. So it makes it a lot more approachable, I found, and realistic and doable. Tell us some of the basic principles that you share in the book, which give it that fresh perspective.
Sure. Well, I think, you know, that everyone has been told at some point in their life that they need a budget. And yeah. for a lot of us, you know, we do need budgets. Budgets are very useful. But it turns out that only 30% of those who try to budget are able to. Everybody else is either too overwhelmed by the prospect or it just simply doesn't work for them.
Right.
And so what's more important, no one needs another book on budgeting. And for me in particular, it wasn't my lack of ability to control my spending. It was that I didn't understand my assets. So one of the core principles of Worth It is this idea of roots and wings. Okay. Roots are your long-term security and wings is your income, your credit, and your savings, your cash flow. And so what I'm doing in that regard is I'm saying, first, think about how it is you are building long-term security. Are you going to own a home? Are you going to invest in a retirement fund? Are you maybe going to start a business? Understand the dynamics of those. And then when you have your income, it's just as much about your day-to-day expenses as it is about how you grow strong roots.
Right, right. And very often, and I think that was the case with you, we might think that a home is a root, but meanwhile, it can turn into a terrible money pit, right?
Yeah, I mean, it can not only turn into a terrible money pit, but depending on the way you finance it, you end up paying interest on your mortgage for so many years that you think you're building equity, but you're not actually building equity. You're just paying for the loan.
Right, right, right. So roots is the security, and then wings is the cash flow to support your lifestyle.
And to grow your roots, both.
And
exactly.
To grow your roots, exactly, exactly. Okay, so, you know, one of the, also the main premises of Worth It is not just the fact that we have to be engaged with our numbers in a way that we're moving towards generating a positive net worth, but in a way that, but in order to successfully do that work of active engagement, you tell us that we need to factor in our self-worth. You lead us to tying those two together, self-worth and net worth. And you know, so tell us, how does that work and why does one preclude the other in a way?
Well, with regards to net worth, the thing that's most important is that, you know, a lot of us think that income is really important, and it is really important. But mm-hmm. when I hear women often talk about our goals, if only if I could make six figures, if only I could make double six figures. But the reality is that income is ephemeral. It goes away at a certain point. Mm-hmm. And so unless you are taking some of that income and turning it into investment, you're not building long-term security because that money is gone.
Meaning so, turning into your roots, right? You're building
yes,
those
exactly.
roots.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Right. So for example, a retirement fund is the most obvious place to start. Mm-hmm. So really what the change in focus there is to focus on net worth. However, for a lot of women, especially in our culture, and I would imagine this is true internationally as well, women are valued for our selflessness. And the challenge there is that when you start to think about savings and investing, that actually requires a certain amount of selfishness, not in a negative way, but it means, yes, you're valuing yourself as along with everyone else and all of your other responsibilities, which is really hard for women because we get the exact opposite messaging in our culture. And so what's critical is that we cultivate our own sense of self-worth so that we see the value in and feel good about building our net worth.
Wow. Wow. This is profound stuff. Everybody needs to take a step back and think about this. It's definitely not all about the numbers. That's the bottom line, right?
No, it's about being able to take care of yourself no matter what, even when you didn't think that you would have to or wanted to.
Exactly. And the truth is, if you don't take care of yourself, it's the classic airplane oxygen mask example, right? If you don't take care of yourself first, you will not be able to take care of others, which is what women want, it's, you know, right?
Yeah. And I often think about it as a simultaneous action, you know, that I'm putting my face mask on while I'm putting it on my children at the same time simultaneously. Mm. So it's not like I'm necessarily putting myself first or I'm putting myself last. It's that I'm thinking about all of them as the same equation.
Right. So it's not like a trade-off. It's really one part of this, one and the same. It's a whole.
It's making yourself part of the equation. Yeah.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Let's talk about money types, Amanda. This is a new twist that I saw you developed, and you discuss it in your book. And I think it's also part of the online platform. And it's one of my favorite things, discovering my money type and then knowing what kind of financial behaviors I should be engaging in and what kind of tendencies I will have in terms of my behavior around money just by the mere fact of the way I am, which might be different from my spouse or from my best friend or whatever. So what are these money types and how do we work with them? How can they help us?
Sure. So just for anyone who's confused with all these names flying around, I'm just going to really quickly summarize all the ones you mentioned.
Yes.
So that folks know the difference between them. So Daily Worth is the newsletter.
Mm-hmm.
Worth FM is the savings and investment platform. And now we are talking about Money Type, which is at www.moneytype.me, which is a personality assessment so that you understand your motivations, gifts, and sabotage patterns around money. Did you take your money type? Do you know what your money type is?
I did. I am a mix, a pretty even mix between epicure and independent. And in fact, I took it twice. And one time, I can't remember which one came out first, but one time it was independent stronger than epicure, and then another time epicure stronger than independent. So I definitely have them both.
Fascinating. So Actually, I don't know if I've ever met an Epicure independent. That's a new, I'm sure there's many. We have 25,000 who've taken it so far. I'm sure they're in there, but I think you might be my first.
Yay.
So for those of you who are like, what are you guys talking about? What we developed is a personality system so that you build awareness around how you operate around money. And of course, this applies to other areas of your life as well. And there's five types: the visionary, producer, epicure, independent, and nurturer. And I'll talk about your two since this is about you. Mm-hmm. So the epicure is actually someone who loves money. This is why I'm excited to understand the nuances of this for you. And sometimes for those of us who are mixes of money types, which is very common, you might feel sometimes like you have contradictions in your personality. Totally, totally normal. Many of us do.
Right.
So I'm a mix of visionary and producer. But as far as the epicure loves money and loves beautiful things and loves sensory pleasure, which means that you are very in tune with your physical environment and how your environment looks and feels to you and the experiences that you cultivate as a result of them.
Yes, that would be me.
Yeah. But at the same time, the independent hates money, funny enough, mm-hmm. and wishes and always believes that everything's just going to work itself out and only thinks about money at the last minute when you have to. Because you have to, not because you wanted to.
Right.
So tell me if any of this resonates with you.
Definitely. And I often wonder if it had to do with, or if it has to do with the fact that I'm an only child, and I always felt very much like, you know, it's always going to be taken care of, you know.
That's very possible. Obviously, our childhood experiences have a huge impact on the way we think things just go all the time.
Right, right. And my husband is a classic visionary, like total classic visionary. So it makes an interesting combo.
Well, if there's ever a reason to spend money, you guys can probably come up with a justification for it quite quickly.
Yes. Although the reasons might be totally different.
Definitely.
So you talk about save, sustain, and spend. And I love that because it just made it, it was just a way of looking at things in a different way. Tell us how that works, those three things.
So save, sustain, and spend are a way to think about a budget that doesn't yet involve all of the details that can get super overwhelming.
Yes.
So if you just think about, you know, how are my finances supposed to work? It's a baseline guide to help you figure out, is your bottom line of your monthly finances working? So there's the money that comes in and the money that goes out. And the best way to figure that out is from an expense standpoint is to say, based on the money that comes in, how much money goes towards sustain, which is the things you have to pay every month, mm-hmm. how much goes towards spend, which are the things you want to spend on every month, but aren't necessarily required. And then save, which is how much are you putting both toward your emergency fund as well as toward your retirement. And I'll just give you the quick percentage breakdowns. Ideally, to start out, it's great to see if you can get to sustain costing 60% of your net income, spend costing 20% of your net income, and save costing net 20% of your net income. So that's 60-20-20. Mm-hmm. And oftentimes, folks will be like, oh my God, my sustain's already up at 90%. Or they might see that they can't even measure a predictable income because they're entrepreneurs.
Right.
So these are some of the things that it highlights for you.
Right. And I guess all in every case, but all the more so if you're an entrepreneur, the saving part, that 20% needs to go out first, meaning pay yourself first, correct? Would you say that?
Absolutely. Otherwise, everything else is going to gobble it up.
Right. And when you address spending, it's not a zero-sum game. It's not like complete austerity, but it's kind of in a way that teaches us the ability to spend without undermining our power and sabotaging our bigger goals, which should be, you know, having that net worth as you define it. So you tell us to choose four non-negotiables, those things that we will spend us. Tell us about that.
Yeah, you know, I mean, there's so many temptations to spend. I mean, yes. I can justify spending all day long.
Right.
But the reality is that if you want to build long-term security for yourself and strong roots, you have to choose what really matters and not spend on the things that don't matter. And so, for example, if you have, so the reason why we picked four is there's pretty much four things that anyone can say is really important. And if you have a lot more that's important to you, you kind of need to check your priorities here. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, a lot of what we actually spend money on isn't because it's important to us. It's because we think we're supposed to. It's because our communities are saying your kids need these birthday parties, or you're saying your family is saying you need to drive a respectable car, or people aren't going to respect you, or all of these, or you need to buy your mother-in-law really expensive gifts because that's the only way you're going to win her approval. Mm-hmm. But you're only doing those things because you've been told you have to, not because they matter to you. So this is really not just a lesson in spending on what's important to you, but also being able to draw a line between, you know what? Me spending on those things isn't actually making anyone else happier. And so I'm not going to do those anymore, even though it goes slightly against the grain of what I think I'm supposed to do.
Right, right. And it, bottom line, I love that you said that last part, because it goes back to our self-worth. Because if we're not spending based on our values, on what we really value, then in a way, we're not putting ourselves first. And I just think it's so important. I very often have like a check-in with my husband about, you know, let's go over our values. Let's make sure that the way we are spending the money, and I guess it's super important for us because of our money types, right?
Yeah.
Let's make sure that we're actually spending in line with those things that a couple months ago we said it really is very important, or that these things are very important to us. And it's just so critical. Like you said, there's so much pressure around, and just the money will go. And when you go back and look at it, it's like, did it even go to places that I really, really want it to go?
Right. And that's, I'm going through that, right? It's not just for the things that you spend money on. It's on some of the bigger things. Like right now I spend money for my kids to go to private school.
Yeah.
And that was always one of my four non-negotiables,
right.
But it's actually eating significantly into my retirement right now. So, you know, there's an incredible public school system about 15 minutes from me, and I'm starting to look to move, because, you know, it's just not about the day-to-day spending, but it's also about some of the really bigger issues in your life.
Right, right. Those big things that are really, really critical. Private school is actually one of mine. In my case, it's a Jewish private school. Would that be the case for you, or that wasn't even part of the equation yet?
No, it wasn't. It was more that I've got this, very emotional attachment to living in the urban center of Philadelphia.
Oh, I see.
And so it's more of a lifestyle choice that I've had a lot of trouble getting away, you know, getting away from.
Right, 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 right. No, I could see that, definitely. All right, Amanda, let's shift gears a little bit to something a bit more spiritual and do a game I like to do. It's called JLP, Fill in the Blanks. And this is a part of the show where I say a sentence and you finish it with the first thing that comes to mind. You ready?
Okay, I'm ready.
I'm Amanda Steinberg, and I feel most spiritual when?
I am listening to music.
Oh, I love that. What's your favorite type of music?
I mean, it's all over the place.
Do you play instruments also? Are you musical?
I've taught myself guitar.
Are you serious?
serious. I needed a hobby. I mean, it's anything from classical music and opera to soulful rock to electronic music from Burning Man, where I've been going since 2002. So it's really all over the board.
Is it something that's translating into your kids? Are you putting them in piano lessons or anything?
Yes, they are in piano. It is fully, they have music pumping through their little bodies all the time.
I love it. I love it. I have children. I'm not musical myself, although I love music, but my husband is very musical, and some of my kids got that talent, and I love the piano playing in the house the whole day. You know, it's like their thing, and I love it. All right. My favorite mitzvah, or one that I connect with the most, is?
Helping women learn how to navigate the job, the career world.
Oh, I love that. All right.
Women just, yeah. Anyway.
Yeah. Tell me. Women.
No,
just...
I mean, oftentimes because of our, the way in which we're socialized to be selfless, you know, women have trouble taking up space and owning what's in front of them. And it's very easy for me to help women step into a new way of seeing themselves inside of work environments, which really opens up opportunity in a lot of ways.
I love it. Are you a good negotiator?
You know, I'm a medium negotiator.
Okay.
I'm a really good salesperson though. So that's the strength I fall back on is I'm good at getting the price up really, really high in the beginning.
My husband too. All right. My fondest, sweetest Jewish memory is?
Oh my God, that's easy. Causing trouble with my best friend in Hebrew school when I was 11 years old. because when I separated from my ex-husband 6 years ago, I ran into him at a traffic light and we've been together ever since.
What?
Yeah.
Are you serious?
I am serious.
Wait, the best friend from Hebrew school?
Mm-hmm.
Oh my God. Talk about divine providence, people.
It's mind blowing.
That really is the coolest thing. All right. When I give tzedakah charity, I like to give to?
Where did I give to last? One Light Global. It's an organization that does refugee relief efforts currently, mostly in Eastern Europe.
Okay. Oh, talk to me about giving a little bit. Like, where do you hold on that? Like, are you one of those people who is very systematic on this and says, you know what, from everything I make, I'm going to take a certain percentage and I'm going to just allocate it to giving? Or it's, you know, what's your
honey?
System?
I'm a visionary. I don't act that way. I'm impulsive. Are you kidding?
You're right.
No, I don't put a lot of pressure on myself to give just because my work is so social impact, and especially sometimes I'm my greatest charity and have been, especially given what you read about me in my book.
Right.
But you know, because I have a lot of entrepreneurial friends who are working on causes and building organizations, I typically try and give as much as I can and raise as much as I can.
Awesome.
For the nonprofits that the people I know are building around the world.
Awesome. By the way, you just reminded me, there's a sentence in your book that made me laugh so hard. You were talking about, I think, negotiating or whatever, and you know, and stating your prices or something. And you said, remember, you're not a charity.
Actually, sometimes you are, though.
Sometimes.
But right. When it comes to negotiating a salary, you are not a charity.
But
you are,
make sure that it's aligned with your values, right? Like, you are because you want to be at that point in time, not because, you know, everybody has to take your services for free.
Right. Majorly.
All right. And finally, I'm Amanda Steinberg, and today I am most grateful for?
I am most grateful for my partner, Jordan, the one I told you about. Aww. He's my rock. And I've always felt like I was navigating the world alone. And, since him, it's really cool to have a best friend.
That's amazing. That's amazing. I love it. Amanda, thank you so much. Congratulations on the book, everybody. This is a must read, Worth It, Your Life, Your Money, Your Terms. Go get yourself a copy. And if you're not subscribed to Daily Worth yet, I highly suggest you do that. And I actually want you to do both things, especially if you think you're the type of woman who's suffering from what Amanda calls a kind of a money coma, just kind of having a very blurry vision when it comes to your money. Amanda, thank you so much. I look forward to keeping up with you and your great work.
My pleasure. Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to Jewish Latin Princess Podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, please subscribe on iTunes, leave a rating, and share the podcast with the Jewish women you love. To access today's show notes, ask Yael a question, or suggest a uniquely talented Jewish woman to be featured on the show, visit JewishLatinPrincess.com.